had a record, and it was called "He Touched Me," and he sung that song. And I think of that because I just, you know, when you first get saved, just things you remember that touch you a lot. That was one of them. The song "Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul." That was a big one for me because we used to sing that in a little Bible study a bunch of us used to do that when we got saved. So things like that just bring back memories. "He Touched Me." What a song. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 14. It is good to be in the house of God. Good to be in here with Christians. Good just to be, just enjoy yourself in church. Amen. And I hate a dead church, honest to goodness. Last thing in the world ought to be a dead church. Dead. You know, this ought to be where we ought to let loose. Amen. Loose him and let him go, like he told Lazarus over there. A lot of times these preachers I know, when they'll get up there, especially when he's younger, we'll say, "Loose him, let him go, Lord, loose him." Acts chapter 14. Oh man, there's so much stuff in the Bible. It's just loaded, man. You can't preach it all. Acts chapter 14:1, and it said, "It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together," and there's Paul, you know, over in the synagogue of the Jews, and "so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren," and that happens a lot. "Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony in the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when they were as an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone." I mean, it's just a mess. Sometimes, you know, when you read this, you think we're the only ones that go. Every generation Christians go through things. They're ready to stone them. You know, they're trying to preach, and they got people getting mad, getting a dissension and all that. In verse 6, "They were aware of it and fled, and they left Iconia. They go into Lystra and Derbe and the cities of Lycaonia and under the region that lieth round about." And watch verse 7. It said, "And there they preached the gospel." That's what we're supposed to do. That's what this thing's all about, folks. "And there they preached the gospel." In verse 8, "And there was set a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Good stuff in you there, you know. And there's a lot more to it, obviously, than meets the eye. I'm going to preach a little bit about that and give you a little expository message on it. And I can give you a lot more about Lystra. I have a message about Lystra. Lystra's where Paul was stoned to death a little bit later in that chapter. And the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, "I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell." And he's talking about himself, how that he was taken up to the third heaven. And that's where that happened. They stoned him to death there. And if you go down, go down to verse number 19, just kind of where we're at. "And they came thither, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, persuaded people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." And he had died. In verse 20, "Howbeit the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came to the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe." In verse 21, it says this, and in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to the city, they taught many, and they returned again to Lystra." That's where he's stoned to death. I got a message on, you ever taken a trip to Lystra? Paul went over and got stoned to death and goes back in the same city and start preaching. Said, "Hey, you guys, you got some more rocks?" I'm not going to preach on that, but there's a lot of stuff in there about Lystra. But I'm talking about this man here, and they're over there. And it's kind of like what you and I go through in life. And what we go through is trying to do something for God. It's just total chaos going on here. I mean, it's pandemonium. They've got this group getting mad, and got these people whose minds are evil affected on them. And eventually they stone them and stone Paul to death. And a little bit later, they think they're Mercurius and Jupiter and start worse. I mean, it's a mess. Just like today. It's a mess, man. I like Brother Larry Theros the other night. He has a missionary to Greece, and he's got up, started a great church in Canada, had to come back to America because of health reasons. And Brother Delaney had all the preachers stand up, you know, and we stood up. "I'm Pastor Pearl Lake Baptist Church in Springville, Alabama." And Brother Chris said, "I'm preacher at Pearl Lake Baptist Church." Brother Theros stood up, he said, "I'm a missionary mess." He told the truth, didn't he? Paul's got a mess. mess, man. We got a mess a lot of times. And God shows up a lot of times, doesn't He? He shows up here, and I'm going to preach on and He leaped, and He walked. Amen. Amen. Brother Anthony, take us the Lord in prayer this morning.
Father, we open your word today, Lord. We just pray that our hearts be open to your word, Lord. Open our ears to your word, Lord. Get the message that we need to hear today,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let the Holy Spirit speak through Brother Terry to us, Lord. And Father, just thank you for this church where we can come and hear the word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bible.
Amen, amen.
Read, Lord. We know it's the true word, Lord. Father, just thank you for everything you do for us. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm just going to jump in. We're running a little late this morning. I got an introduction. I'm just going to skip all that. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, the Bible says this in Acts 14, 8. It said, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. I want to say the first thing I see in these texts, I see a helpless condition. Helpless condition. The Bible said there was a certain man, all he could do was sit there, Brother Brian. And the Bible said he was impotent in his feet. And the word impotent, it occurs 4 times in the King James Bible. It occurs over in John chapter 5 that Brother Chris preached on a few weeks ago. There lay a great multitude of impotent folk. The word impotent means helpless, totally helpless, and hopeless to take action and prove. It means to lack the power or ability to change or improve a situation. When you're impotent, you are totally helpless. You can't change anything. There's nothing you can do to fix it. And here was a man, all he could do was sit there. He was impotent in his feet from his mother's womb, who never walked. He was in a helpless condition. No doctor could help him. No medicine could help him. No operation could help him. Can you imagine being a grown man, Brother Alonzo, and never taking a step in your whole life? Can you imagine? I mean, something as simple as this, he had never taken a step. He was in a totally helpless condition. The Bible said that he was helpless from his mother's womb. He didn't deserve this, Miss Carol. It wasn't that he played football. You know, football is a bad thing now, you know. Don't play football. That's like smoking cigarettes, you know, was a few years ago. I mean, man, he didn't play in football. He didn't hit by climate change. It wasn't Obamacare. It wasn't the flu. He was born this way from his mother's womb. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't some sin in his life. It's nothing he done. He is that way from his mother's womb. Kind of reminds me of me before I got saved. And that's the way you was? Weren't you that way? When you a cripple, impotent in your feet, couldn't walk with God, never walked a day with God from your mother's womb? If you were truthful about it, and you know your Bible, you was. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. You see, just like Adam, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-papa, when he fell in the Garden of Eden, you and I caught the same flu that day. And from your mother's womb, you were impotent in your feet, and you was a cripple, and you never walked a day with God. Never. You say, well, preacher, you don't know me. Listen, I grew up in the church. I taught Sunday school. I went to Vacation Bible School. If you weren't saved, you were a cripple in your feet. You were impotent. You was in a helpless condition that you could not change it either. He was in a helpless condition. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse 16, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat of it. For in the day, not when you die, the day when you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now he didn't die physically when he ate it, did he? The word death means separation, by the way, that's what it means. But the Bible tells us after he ate the fruit, the Bible said the eyes of them both were opened, Genesis 3:7. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. You say, what happened? They could no longer walk with God.
Right.
The Bible said before that they walked with Him in the cool of the day. Just like that crippled man, you and I, we were born and dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible said. And you and I inherited that sin nature from Adam. And from our mother's womb, we were a crippled, impotent in our feet. We couldn't walk with God. None of us could before we got saved. That song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. We couldn't walk with Him. We were helpless condition, like that man there. You know, when we go out on the streets and all that kind of stuff and pass out tracts, if that person's not saved, I'm going to tell you right now, they're in a helpless condition like that man. And you never know. Miss Karen, which I meant to mention that this week, she led a young man to the Lord this week, come by to put some shingles off in her house. And let, you know what he was? He was a cripple, impotent from his feet, from his mother's womb, who had never walked a day with God. He didn't know God. Just like Adam. He is in a helpless condition, just like you and I were. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, you ask He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Colossians 2:13, you have been dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your flesh. None of us could walk with God before you got saved. You know what I do, Brother Chris, Brother Don, some of you know? I just sit around and stay high. I was like that impotent man. I just sit around. I had no ambition, nothing to live for, nothing going on. There's nothing in my... I didn't care! You say, well, I was helpless. I told you before, all these kids when I was coming up, they were getting cars and going to work. Not me. I had no ambition. My daddy said, boy, when you get a car, what do I need a car for? Where am I going to go? I had no place to go. All I'd like to do is sit around like that man. Can you say why? I was impotent in my feet. Couldn't walk just like him. He was in a helpless condition. Our world, our country's in a helpless condition today, brother. I mean, everywhere you look, man, things are falling apart. We're looking at the worst flu epidemic since 1918. We've seen the worst of three natural disasters last year in our whole country. We're doubling our national debt in 1 year. I gave you this morning. Say, what's going on? We're impotent in our feet. We no longer walk with God. We no longer care about God.
Amen.
We're in a helpless condition like that man. I'll tell you something else about him this morning. He had a helpless condition. Look at verse 7. And the Bible said, and there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man named Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Watch this. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly behold and perceived the end of faith. I want to say there was a helpless condition, but I want to say this morning there was a hearing cripple. A hearing cripple. That man, he couldn't walk, Brother Chris. But bless God, he could hear. He could hear. I don't know how many people were there. I know one thing, what we read in the beginning. I know there was a lot of chaos going on, Miss Carol. I know there was a lot of people fighting what God, Paul was doing, just like me and you when they do it with us. I know they stoned Paul to death a little bit later. And I know there's a lot of people trying to shut him down, Miss Liz. But I know one thing. There was a hearing cripple in that crowd. He was listening to Paul. The Bible said he heard Paul speak. You know what Paul was speaking? Come on down here and be healed. Not what he was speaking. This wasn't no earnest, angry circus going on. Do you have faith to be healed? This wasn't an oil robber running around robbing people. This was a man that said, and Paul preached what? The gospel. You know what the gospel is? It means good news. That hearing cripple, he heard something good, maybe for the first time in his life, how that Christ Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to say there was a helpless condition. There was a man that had never walked a step in his life. All he did was sit there his whole life. But he heard something. All that mess going on. You know, you look around the world today, this country's a mess, the world's a mess. You can't hardly find the truth. We go out there and preach on the street or pass out tracts, whatever some of you do, and talk to people about, God, it's a mess! But I'm going to tell you, there's a hearing cripple out there. Just like him. I mean, all that going on, and there's a man never walked, he's saying the gospel of Jesus Christ. He heard the good news. You know what the gospel means? It means good news. The same heard Paul speak. The Bible said in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear. Jesus said many times in the Bible, he said this. He said, having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. He said, this people, they hear, but they hear not. We go out in the streets and preach or passing out whatever you do, even in the church preaching. And I know I'm preaching to people, every congregation, every time that has just reached in. As soon as I get started, they just tune me right off. Now listen, they're sitting there and they have ears, the Bible said, but they hear not. Say why? They done tune me out. They done tune the preacher out. They're out on the streets. We're out there preaching and talking to people. Some people just turn us off. But there's a hearing cripple out there, my friend. There's one out there. Just like with Paul, all the mess that was going on. There they are. They may be hiding someplace. They may be sitting in a car when you're standing on the street corner. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Might be somebody sitting in that car, a hearing cripple, limping in his mother's seat, that never walked. Listen to that. You never know. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. That's why I love this thing of serving God. I know payday's coming up when I get to heaven. And I'm gonna meet people up there. Miss Carol sure is the world that I've given a gospel tract to, Miss Liz, that got saved. As many as I've given out through the years, 42 years. I'm gonna meet people up there that when I was standing on the street corner preaching the gospel, they bow their head in that car. I've seen them do it. And they'll say, got saved when he's doing that. Say, what is it? It's a hearing cripple out there looking, listening for something, Brother Don. Most of people, they don't want it. They'd stone us to death if they could, really. They call the police and complain. But there's always that hearing cripple. Wow. I like what I'm hearing. Man, I've been looking at that for a long time. That's where I was when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, Miss Rachel, and I understood that thing and got hold of it. I said, man, oh man, that's the best deal I ever heard right there. You didn't have to knock me in the head with it after I got it. I realized this made sense. There was a hearing cripple. You never know. You just go out there and preach. You go pass out tracts. You don't know. You just give them gospel tracts. You don't know. You just tell them about the Lord. You don't know. You don't know. You never know what God would do. You'll never know where that hearing cripple might be out there. But he's out there. I remember Dr. Ruggles one time talked about, and he preached on the street years and years for the church. He said no church would have him when he first started preaching, you know. So he just went like Wesley. He went on the streets. And he was in North Carolina one day and it was raining. It was cold. It was windy, Brother Anthony. And Ruggman, what he'll do is set a board up and he'll draw on the street and preach. That's what he does. He gets the crowd up. And he went there that day in North Carolina, a little town, and he went there and it was raining, Brother Chris, and it was cold, and it was windy, and the town was like a ghost town on a Saturday morning. You know what he did? He set his board up. Set his board up. Drew a picture of the three crosses, preached on the three crosses. Drew his thing. Preached his message just like he had a crowd. Turned around there. Got to the end of the thing. Said, every head bowed, every eye closed. Gave an invitation. Walked him through the plan of salvation. Picked his board up, went home. 20 years later, he said he was in a meeting in Florida. And a man come up to him and said, Brother Ruggles, you don't know me, but you led me to the Lord. He said, you never met me, but you led me to the Lord. Ruggles said, how did that happen? He said, you was down there preaching North Carolina one day, and he said, "You was preaching out there on a rainy day, and you was a preaching nobody there." He said, "I was in the gas station listening to every word you said." He said, "When you said get down and pray," he said, "I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save me." Amen. You don't know! You know what that was? That was a hearing cripple. He has listened to that message. That's what I need right there. I like Brother Lucian was talking about last week. He said he saw this black man out there preaching this place, and he's out there preaching, and the only person out in there in the outside is sitting there is his wife. Y'all remember talking about that? She's out there just preaching up a storm, Brother Chris, and the only one out there, Miss Jane, is his wife sitting there. And Brother Lucian sitting in the police car watching all this. And he got out of the car after a while. And he went to the guy's wife. He said, "What's he preaching to?" She said, "He said there's nobody out there." His wife said, "Oh, he's preaching to that policeman sitting over in that car." That was him, see. Hey, brother, there's always a hearing cripple out there. I mean, that whole town was trying to stone him and bring him to vision, but there was an impotent man and said, "I'm in a helpless condition." They're there. They're there. Miss Karen, bless her heart, I meant to mention that this morning. Had a black boy come over to her place. Bought some tile. Doing some roofing on her house. She gave testimony Thursday night. Gave him a gospel tract. Got talking to him a few minutes, telling him about the gospel. A few minutes later, he's praying and crying, asking Jesus to save him. Say, "Why was it?" A hearing cripple. You never know. Brother Anthony going through the line at McDonald's drive-in in Huntsville, I think it was. There was a girl behind there that leads the Lord. Say, "What was it?" "It was just a hearing cripple." We go down there at Best Buy, passing out our gospel tracts that Friday night. Brother Anthony leads a little Spanish lady to the Lord. You say, "What was it?" A hearing cripple. Brother Ben called me one day and said, "Brother Terry, I'm preaching now. I'm giving a little pop-up." And he said, "This lady wants to get saved. I want to make sure I got it right." She wanted to get saved. I have no phone. I said, "You got it right." He said, "What was that?" "What did I hear?" It was a hearing cripple. They're all over the place. There was a helpless condition. There was a hearing cripple. They're all over the place. Let me say something else. This is my favorite part about this. You know what there was next? That was hilarious command. That was a hilarious command in that thing. You know, one of my favorite political gaffes was Joe Biden. I love Joe Biden. He's one of my heroes. Thing I like about Joe, him and George Bush both, they laughed. We all make mistakes. But those two, they laughed when they made them. Remember George Bush trying to open the locked door that day? And he kept going back. It was so funny. He laughed. And Joe Biden, he'd make mistakes. He'd do dumb things, you know. But he'd take it in good humor and laugh, you know. One of my all-time favorite, though, occurred September the 9th, 2008, in Missouri. I know you've seen this. He's at this rally, you know, and he says this. He said, "I'm told Chuck Graham, state senator, is here. Hey, stand up, Chuck, and let everybody see you." Y'all remember that? Chuck Graham was a paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair, Miss Carol, since he was 16 years old in a car accident. And he's sitting down there in a wheelchair, and Joe Biden in front of everybody says, "I'm told Chuck Graham, state senator, is here. Stand up, Chuck, let them all see you." Then he realizes he can't stand up. And Joe, in his typical soft shoe fashion, he says, "Oh my God, love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, pal." That was hilarious, you know. You know what? Paul's command here was even more hilarious when you think about it. Look at verse number 10. Remember this man? The Bible said he was impotent at his feet. He had never walked. Chuck Graham over there, the senator, he'd walked for 16 years. Paul's looking at a man that had never walked from his mother's womb. And Paul looks at him, verse 10, and says with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." Look what the next thing he says. And the man says, "Dude, are you making fun of me? I can't walk on my feet." Listen, it was a bigger joke than what Biden did. It was a hilarious command. Paul looks over there at the man that never walked from his bed. He says with a loud voice, he didn't just whisper it, he embarrassed him in front of everybody. Stand upright on thy feet. You know what, friend? You know the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we be honest about it, it's an hilarious command God gives us when you think about it. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, it's foolishness. For after the wisdom of God, they knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. I mean, here we are. I grew up, Brother Brian, I was an obnoxious atheist. Obnoxious. I wasn't no wiggle worm. I'd get on you. I'd never been to church my life. Two times I went to Bible school, vacation Bible school. Dopehead. Ridiculous. And I'm sitting in a boat one day with Randy Mills that got saved. Brother Brian, I'm over here smoking dope, chugging Jack in the Black whiskey, puffing on cigarettes, fishing, and here's this guy over here going, Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. Hey, that was the most hilarious thing I've heard in my life. What are you talking to me? I'm an impotent from my feet. I'm an atheist. It's hilarious. Command God gave us. I mean, we'll look at people who never walked before and say, stand up on right on my feet. It's hilarious. I think of Brother Bunk and Charlie Andrews out there. Pastor's Goreland Baptist Church. He's been pastoring that church for about 35 years, man. That guy was present at the Devil's Disciples motorcycle gang. Not exactly the kind of guy you'd invite to go to Sunday school with you, is it? That's kind of like looking at a man impotent, never walked before in his mother's womb and say, stand up right on their feet. That's like kind of a guy like that spent most of his life in jail. That guy had been shot 5 times. He'd been stabbed 5 times, Miss Samantha. Been in and out of prison, jail. I've seen pictures before he got to, had a beard down about right here, long hair, all that motorcycle garb. You know what Bunk used to do? Brother Bunk got saved. Bunk couldn't witness to him. Didn't know how. So he'd call him up, Miss Jana. And he'd say, Brother, he said, Charlie was a friend of his. And Bunk got saved and he had tapes of Jim Trotter preaching. And he'd call up Charlie. He'd say, Charlie, I want you to listen to this. He'd take the phone off, put it there at a little cassette player, and play the messages for him. That's hilarious! I mean, here you are talking to the president of the devil's disciple and giving him a little gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. But you know what? It works. Just like that man. Paul told him, says, stand up right on thy feet. Because you know what happens a lot of time with me and you? We look out with the rational eyes. We look at the eyes of the flesh. And we look around and we look at that person. And we think there's no way in God's name he could ever be saved. Hey, here's a man impotent from his feet, never walked from his mother's womb. Paul looks at him and said, stand upright on thy feet. You know what God calls us to do? Same thing. Go out there to a world that's impotent, lost, going to hell, look like nothing left, man. And God sends us out there. I tell you what, I've seen so many impotent people get saved that never walk. I've led Satanists to the Lord. I've led sodomites with AIDS to the Lord. I've led some good Baptists to the Lord. God save him, he'll save anybody, I figure. Our brother David Beard, 17 years in prison. God saved. Say, why was he as an impotent, a cripple? He got saved. You say, how hilarious command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That's all it is. We just give them the simple gospel. You know the simplicity of the gospel to me, it makes it hilarious. We want to do something. The Bible talks about over there in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as Satan beguiled Eve, he'll beguile you through that your mind should be corrupted through the simplicity that is in Christ. It's so simple. I can go out to Cosby Lake when I walk around, Brother Chris, and I don't care. I meet some good Christians. I meet some hippies down there, burnout hippies. I meet dope heads. I meet everything in the world. It doesn't matter. I just give them a gospel tract. You say, why? It'll work. I don't care what they've done. I used to go down to Jimmy Hale Mission. Those guys down there, half of them on the FBI's 10 most wanted. You know what I do? I preach a simple gospel message. You say, why? Stand upright on my feet. You know what Jesus said one time? I preached about this last week. You know what he said? He said, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you can't even enter in. Yeah. You know the only way they can get in? Is take it just like a little child. Amen. It's an hilarious command. We try to rationalize this thing and logic this thing and try to figure this thing out and all that kind of stuff. And you know what we do? We do. We kill it. It's that simple. Brother Bob Smith tickled me a while back. I was talking to him. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, the hardest thing I ever did in my life was get saved. He said, it's the hardest thing I ever did. I said, why is that? He said, because I couldn't turn loose. He said, I read my Bible through 5 times from cover to cover trying to get saved. Talked to preachers trying to get saved. He said, I never could figure out that faith and grace. He said, I wanted to do something. He said, the simplicity of the gospel made it so hard for me to get saved. It's like that impotent man over there. He's sitting there, never walked from his mother's womb. He's in a helpless condition. He's a hearing cripple. And he hears a hilarious command. I mean, he's been sitting there his whole life, Brother Don. Never walked. Man walks up to him and says, stand upright on my feet! Hey, dude, I've been like this all my life! Boy, I was an old dope head, you know. Guy telling me about Jesus Christ. First time I'm hearing this stuff, I'm like, don't talk to me about this. I'm not interested. I'm a cripple. I see a hilarious command. I see a helpless condition. I see a that old hearing cripple. You know, that's what I look for. I know going out there and passing out tracts and preaching, knocking on doors, whatever you do to try to reach people. You don't reach them in here, by the way. This is not where you reach. This is where you reach them out there. That's where Christianity goes in effect. That out there. This is just play around deal here. The real deal's out there. And you never know. You get a lot of people that'll get mad at you and all that, slam doors in your face, just like Paul's going there. They'll stone him eventually and kick him out and all that. But they had a hearing cripple. I'm looking for that hearing cripple. I'm looking for that man impotent at his seed, never walked from his mother's womb. And there's that hearing cripple, and there's that hilarious command. You know what I'm telling him? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I remember years ago, one of my uncles. He was one of the richest men in the city. One of the smartest men I ever heard in my life. He read several books a day. Brilliant man. He lived in Vestavia, the richest street at one time in the state of Alabama. And I got saved, and this guy was smart. I mean, brilliant. I mean, people around the world literally would call this guy for consultation. He is a multimillionaire. Had a house you wouldn't believe. Had a place on a lake, a barn they made that Bing Crosby's been down there. A lot of famous people would come down there and spend time with him. And the Lord told me after I got saved about a month, the Lord said, go witness to him. I said, you got to be kidding, Lord. Not this guy. He'll eat me up and chew me up and spit me out. I don't have to talk to this guy. I knew it pretty good. I grew up with him. You know, he gave me a lot of bad things to read through the years. He gave me one time Bertrand Russell's book, Why I'm Not a Christian, which really messed me up for quite a few years. But the Lord told me, he said, you talk to him just like you do a little baby. And I didn't know the verses like I gave you the other night. But you know what? I talked to him just like he was a little baby. Just hilarious command. I opened up my Bible. Uncle Leonard, I want to show you Romans 3:10. There's none righteous. You know you're a sinner, don't you, Uncle Leonard? You know for all that sin comes short of the glory of God, don't you? You say, what is that? That's hilarious talking to a man like that. You know what we got? We got a hilarious command. I want to give you one more thing about this man I like. There was a hopping commotion. A hopping commotion. Look at verse number 9. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on my feet." And he said, he stood up. Didn't say that, did he? You know what he did? You know what that old boy did? He leaped.
Yeah.
He leaped. Paul said, "Stand up." He didn't just stand up, brother. He jumped up, leaping, and began walking. You know what that is? That's a picture of somebody really getting saved.
Yeah.
You know what it was?
Amen.
It was a hopping commotion that took place. He didn't just stand up. The Bible said he leaped. Luke 6:23, Jesus said about salvation, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." Over in Acts chapter 3, Paul and Peter's over there. Have you ever noticed? You ought to notice this if you read your Bible. Peter and Paul do the same miracles. You ever notice Moses and Joshua? When Moses left, God had Joshua do the same thing. When Peter left, he had Paul do the same thing. Because in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "There was a certain man lame from his mother's womb." Same deal. And the Bible said, they told him to rise up in verse 8, and he leaping stood up and walked. And he was walking and leaping and praising God.
Yeah.
There was a hopping commotion.
Amen.
You know what? For the first time in his life, he had something to get excited about. I tell you, brethren, I'm excited about this thing with God. And I didn't. It wouldn't burrow Pearl Lake. Listen, if Pearl Lake closed up, you guys run me out. I would be just as happy and excited as I was when I got here. It has nothing to do with this church. It has to do with my walk with Jesus Christ, leaping and walking. In fact, I'll tell you what. My wife will tell you, I'm a whole lot slower than I used to be. I'm getting to be an old man up here, you know. I'm 63 years old here in a few months. I mean, I could leap and we're the best of them, jump around. But I'm kind of dragging around now, Brother Chris. But I tell you, when I got saved, Brother Don, boy, I got me something. And I told you before, I am the dullest cat on the planet. I'm not interested in nothing. I'm the most anti-political, government, recreational, pleasure person you ever met in your life. Not interested. You know what I'm interested in? What's in that book? You know what I'm interested in? Telling people about Jesus Christ. You know what I'm interested in? Trying to get souls out of hell. Say why? I got saved. Bible said about that man, he had a hopping commotion. He began leaping and walking. I tell you what, I got me something. I got me something. Just like Brother Chris, I've heard his testimony. I've talked to him. I've been around him a lot, preaching and things here. I can tell, brother, he jumped up that day leaping and walking. Couldn't wait to do something for God. I'm going to tell you, there's few things in this life worth leaping about. My kids and grandkids and my family, that gets me excited. That gets me excited. Can't wait. I've been practicing holding that little baby. Can't wait. And I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ gets me excited. That's about it. That's my bucket list right there. Those are the things that get me. Nothing else. I could care less about people coming to me and say, "What do you think about it?" I say, "Guess what? I could care less. What do you think about tax reform?" I could care less. "What do you think about the immigration?" I could care less. Say, "What do you think about people dying and going to hell?" I could care about everything. See, when I got saved, see what happened, preacher? I got leaping and I got walking with God just like that man. I got me a hopping commotion. I like that song Brother Chris sings. "There's a man in here who makes demons flee." I've been listening to that song. Me and my wife, we talk about, where's Chris get this stuff? "He makes cripples walk and he's chosen even me."
Amen.
"For he lives in my heart and I'll have no fear. I'm a better man because there's a man in here."
Yeah.
Right in here. That's where he's at, Miss Annie Mae. That's why I got leaping and hopping. That's why I'm excited about church. That's why I'm excited to give out tracts. That's why I'm excited about God. You say, why? I met him one day. I love Brother Lucian. I was thinking about him all week, you know, after that message. You know what I like about that old boy? He's just leaping. He's not walking with God, Brother Anthony. He's not. Oh boy. Brother, he's leaping. He's excited. I called him a couple of months ago, you know, and we were talking about the New Year's Eve, and he's one of them. I called a few preachers, gonna have him come in. He's one of them. And I called him up and said, Brother Lucian, I want you to come preach. We're going to do a watch tonight. I'm getting a few preachers. Would you come? He said, are you serious? That's what he said. He thought I was kidding. I said, I'm serious. He said, y'all want me to come preach? I said, yeah, we want you to come preach. He said, brother, I'll be there. When I had to call him back, you know, we had to cancel because we had to move up the baby's delivery. And I called him up and said, Brother Lucian, we're going to have to cancel it. He's like, oh. I said, I tell you what. Let's pick a date right now. We'll bring you in. That's why I came in last week. I picked that date. And I hadn't talked to him since then. I told him, Miss Liz, I said, I'll call you a little bit later and remind you. And I called him a week before he came in, called him about Tuesday or Wednesday, and got him on the phone. As soon as he heard his name, he said, I'm still coming, ain't I? Made both people say, hey, Brother Terry, first thing he said, you're not canceling on me. I'm still coming, right? I said, I'm here. Yes, sir, I just called you to remind you. Say, what was it? He is leaping, brother. He is so excited he gets a chance to come in here and preach. Say, what was that? That was a hopping commotion. There's a helpless condition. There's a hearing cripple. There's a hilarious command. I love that. That's Joe Biden. Hey, Joe! Hey, Chuck, stand up! Oh, hey, stand up, everybody! And there was that hopping commotion. I remember years ago, and I might have told you this before, I used to preach a lot when I was in Pensacola in Bible school, us preacher boys, we had to preach. We'd have fellowships in the backyard, you know, and we'd just preach up a storm, man. I got a little portable pulpit, I still got one at home. These guys would make for me, and we'd get a backyard. Sometimes we'd go out there on the pier, and we'd catch a bunch of fish, king mackerel and flounder, and we'd flay them right there, Brother Anthony, and put them in ice. And next night, we'd take them out and grill them out in the backyard, and we'd set a pulpit out there and let the preachers go. People would sing. We did it all the time. I had to preach. We used to go preach street preaching a lot. Saturdays, a lot of times, we'd go to Mobile, and I'd get a bunch of preachers with me and preacher boys. They were all 26, 27, 25, you know. Little old guy, little short hair, Brother Brian, had my little old tie and white shirt on, looked like a little Mormon walking around. You know, we little old wormy guys, little nerdies. And we go out there to Mobile, and Mobile, they had a big bus, big old park there, Brother Chris. And that park, right at the end of it, was a big old bus stop. And it was round. I mean, it was huge. This thing was round, and it had about a couple of hundred seats up there, like a little amphitheater almost. And they'd bring those buses in, and people would get off, and they'd sit in the seats and wait like a little bus station is outside. It was covered. It was nice. Had nice fold-up seats, you know, like theater seats. And it's about all black folks. Saturday morning, I'd go over there, and I'd take a few of those preacher boys with me. And I used to draw a little bit like Ruckman did. I could draw a little bit. And I'd set me a board up, you know, and draw a picture, you know. And I'd set it up right in front of them. And I'd have me about 100 black people out there in that thing. And I'd set that thing up, you know, and set it up and draw me a picture of Jesus on the cross or something and preach a gospel message. And I had a ball. Some of them old black sisters, they'd get their old hankies out and say, preach it, white boy. You tell them, white boy. You preach it, white boy. And oh, when I'd be preaching, those old preacher boys, they'd be going around giving out tracts, leading people to God, Brother Chris. Oh, it was a preacher's heaven. Every 30 minutes, I'd get a whole new congregation come in, about 100 folks. And I'd take that picture and give it to somebody out, one of those people, they'd love it, you know, and I'd draw me another one. I was out there preaching one Saturday, I'll never forget it. And after I was preaching, Brother Chris, I decided to walk around the park a little bit, and big old park out in Mobile, and I'd give them a gospel tract, you know. There's one old guy, he was sitting there and on a bench. He was a black man. He was sitting there and had a hat on, had his hat down like this. And
You could tell he was really distraught. When you go to a park, people go to a park because they're happy or sad. Want to get away from some. They're happy and want to... And either way, they'll talk to you normally. And this old fella, he was sitting there. And I came up beside him. I didn't give him a track or nothing. I just got set up beside him. Here I am, a little white shirt, you know, town, little haircut. And I sat down beside him, you know, and he's sitting there. And I sat down beside him. And he got talking to me. He was telling me, after a few minutes, he confided to me, Brother Zito, he is fixing to go kill himself. Had a pistol in his pocket. Pulled it out, showed it to me. He's fixing to commit suicide, Miss Samantha. He is in a helpless condition, that old fellow was. He began crying to me. He's in his 30s. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I'm on dope. I'm on drugs. He said, my wife thinks I'm crazy. They're trying to commit me and put me in a mental institute and all this kind of stuff. He said, I hadn't got nothing to live for, nothing left. He said, I'm fixing to go end it all. He had a gun in his hand. I said, a little Nehemiah prayer, God help me. I can know a little bit better now, maybe. I didn't know. So I remember what I told him. I'll never forget. I was trying to think of something, Brother Chris, what to tell him. And I've been working on this message I got on Dr. Jesus. And so I told him this. I just came to my hand. I said, you know what? You remind me of somebody I once knew. He said, who's that? I said, me. He said, you. He started laughing. He said, you. I said, yeah, me. And I was. I was at the point of suicide, really. And I said, that sounds just like me. I said, I was on dope, had nothing to live for, nothing going on. I said, my parents tried to commit me too, kick me out of the house. They did. I said, it sounds just like me. He said, what happened to you? Here I am, little old white shirt on, short sleeve shirt, this little old town. What happened to you? You know, I told him, I said, well, I went to the doctor. He said, you went to the doctor? I said, yeah. He said, I don't have no money. I don't have any insurance. He said, this doctor, he don't make a charge. I said, he's never made a charge in his whole life. He don't charge you. You don't need insurance. He said, well, you think he could help me? He was serious. I ain't going. I said, you know what, this doctor? I said, he's cured everybody that ever came to him. I said, he's never lost a case. He's cured them 100%. I said, he's never lost. He said, I said, he's treated millions and you never lost one. He started laughing. He said, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm telling you the truth. He said, well, you think he'd take me? Do you think I could call to get a meeting? I said, he'll take you just like you are. I said, he started kind of getting like, not real. I said, you know what his name is? He said, what? I said, his name is Dr. Jesus. And I said, he'll save you. Whosoever shall come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And he is in a helpless condition. He is a hearing cripple. He is just listening to that thing. Brother Anthony, he heard some good news. You know what? He heard a hilarious command. Here he was, an old guy getting ready to commit suicide, life shot. And a guy, just a little old twerp, sits up beside him with a little old tie and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. You know what he did, Brother Don? A few minutes later, right there at that park, got by that bench, he and I got him on. I got on his knees. We got on his knees right there and prayed. And he asked him, and he jumped up and started hopping around just like that man. He started crying. He said, "I never felt this good." He said, "I never felt anything like this." He said, "Man, I feel good." He started going around the park. "Man, I feel good." He told me, he said, "There's about three or four of us out there. We prayed with him and shouted with him." He said, "Will y'all be here a little while?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm going to get my wife. I want y'all to tell her what you told me." And he went and got her and brought her out there. She turned out she was already saved, just got right with God. We all huddled down there. Me and those preacher boys, Brother Chris, got down there with him and let him got down there and got excited. Boy, we just, I think, I pray for him. It's been 40 years ago, so still think about him. I said, "What was it?" It was a hopping commotion. He was a helpless condition. That guy couldn't, he had no hope. He is a hearing cripple. He heard something. It was a hilarious command to him. He couldn't believe it. How simple, how easy. But there was a hopping commotion.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, thank you for this infinite man, Lord, this story you've given us here, Apostle Paul, and Lord, we've seen it so many times in my life, people like that, in me, Lord. I can relate to it, Lord. I just can just feel that thing, Lord, coming alive to me. And Lord, I just pray, God, help us, Lord, to realize how serious the responsibility we have. And Lord, help us to realize there's a cripple from his mother's womb that never walked, sitting all around us, God. They're all over the place. They're in our jobs. They're at Walmart. They're knocking on our doors. They're at the gas station. They're all over the place. Just like that man, they're looking and they're listening. Not all of them, not many, Lord. We know that. Wide is the gate that leadeth destruction, and many there be which go in. Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find. We know that, Lord. We know Paul went through a lot there. Had a big chaos, had a big mess, had a lot of things to stop him. He didn't stop. He preached the gospel, and there was a man, a hearing cripple that hurt him. They got saved, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us to take these things to heart. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Help us like Paul. Paul said, I wanted to know anything about you, save Jesus and him crucified. Help us, Lord, make that our focus in life. Get away from all these other things, Lord. Lord, we love you this morning, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the message and the message that was preached. May it bring forth some fruit, Lord, down the road. Not today, Lord. May we take it to heart, Lord. Digest it and live off of it. Realize, Lord, those guys are all over the place, Lord. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.